22 Westminster City Council meeting. I'm going to call the meeting to order. If you would, just keep in mind, we've got masks for your safety if you want to wear them. We're not requiring it, but we do encourage it. I'm going to leave mine off because I cannot talk through that, and I'm away from everybody. And I was tested negative, so everybody be happy for that. At this time, we'll go ahead and stand, introduce Pastor Rod Lowell from Crossroads Baptist Church number 2. He's going to give the invitation to preach.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for this day you've given us, Lord God. We're always grateful for each and every day you give us, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for this meeting that we could have here in the city. And Lord, we do pray for our leaders of this city. We pray for our mayor. We pray for our council, Father. And Lord, as we gather here tonight, Lord, we just pray you lead and guide us, Father. And Lord, we look for you for guidance for this great city of ours. And just bless the great people of this city. And of course, Father, I always got to keep in mind right now with COVID going on, we certainly pray for all those folks out there that's fighting it, Lord God. And just ask you to comfort, heal, bless those families, Lord God, lost people, Lord. Just ask you to be with them in a special way and be with our city again. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All members of council are present, a certified quorum.
All right, we'll open the floor for public comments. We'll call your name if you will state your name and address. You have 3 minutes and open the floor at this time. You have the list?
Rick McDuff.
That's me.
Rick McDuff?
Yes, sir. Good evening, honorable mayor and council members. My name is Rick McDuff. I'm a lawyer in Seneca, South Carolina. I represent one or more business owners that have property here in the city of Westminster. I know your city attorney and I know your city administrator. We've had meetings on this before. I'm here tonight just to talk briefly. I know your time is very valuable and I want to give the other folks here an opportunity to speak as well. I'm here to address the elephant in the room that, you know, we've been reading about in the paper. For the last, ad nauseum since I think before the end of last year, is the AMI fee. And I think that there's, from what I've read, and I can't verify what's reported in the newspaper, but it appears as though this council has a desire to try to correct what has gone on, in our view, my client's view, in terms of exacting the AMI fee after the expiration date, after the shelf life date of it, for going on 2 years now. And everybody can do the math on that. We can figure out what the numbers are. I just want to, on behalf of my client, ask the city council to rescind, vote to drop the AMI fee, and also figure out a way to refund the taxpayers of the city the money that was taken in excess of what was duly authorized according to the ordinance. After the monies were paid back, after the bond was retired. And, you know, I'm not going to get into the numbers, but I think that they're easily calculable. I think your city administrator has calculated those numbers, has a figure on those things. I know from what I've read there's going to be some need to make up the revenue somewhere. And I just want to caution that, I've looked at this. I've been a lawyer for 35 years now. I've dealt with your city attorney before, and he and I have been on opposite sides of things with each other over the course of years, is that my client, and I don't want to say this in terms of making just a threat that is going to be taken in a hostile way, but my client is ready for me to proceed with some sort of legal action to seek relief in court if there's not an appetite to do away with the AMI fee. Also, I think that the council, I'm not going to give this council legal advice, not going to pretend to, but I think what we have to be careful about, and I would think about whether or not you impose a rate structure upon residents outside the city that's different than resident. 1 minute left, thank you. Thanks for the warning. Rate structure different than the rate structure imposed upon people within the city limits. I think there's, what, about 75-25 difference, people outside the city that are served versus city residents. But I think that there are some potential equal protection issues, and I know the city's got to find
Mr.
ways
Mayor,
to...
Mr. 30 minutes.
Is that, I'm done? I've said my piece. I'm going to cede the floor to other people and let them talk, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I didn't know you had your time, but I had my story.
Yeah, your minute was different than their minute, so...
Rod Lida.
Pastor Rod Lida from Crossroads Baptist Church, 417 Carbridge Road is where I live. And perhaps I should have went first because I know you got a hot topic issue going on here tonight, so I'll get my stuff out of the way. I'm coming before the council tonight to ask for approval. Our church would like to do a special passion play, if you will, passion service on Good Friday this year, April the 15th, and we're looking to do it somewhere in town. We've narrowed it down to either here in the Depot parking lot or possibly in the grassy park area there on Retreat Street. Obviously, if we did it there in Retreat, then we would need to block the road in the afternoon. We'll have to block the roads off to do that. We're looking at putting some chairs, a big tent there in the road there so folks can attend and watch the service and stuff. As a pastor and as our church would agree if they were here tonight, we see a serious need to present the gospel, and we believe that our city needs it, and we look for this to be an event that we can unite everyone. We can bring people together, all races, all cultures, all beliefs, as far as, you know, our churches come here. I'd love to see all of our churches come together and give the good news out to those folks during this time. Also, as a part of this, we are looking to feed the community as well for free. We're wanting to feed everybody who comes out that night, whatever it takes. We're going to try to feed them, give them a hot meal. That's another thing I'm sure that's needed right now today. A lot of people hurting and hungry right now with things that are going on with COVID. So it's just my desire to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and I'm just looking for the opportunity for council to work with us and give us the opportunity to do just that. And perhaps this can turn into an annual thing where we could really impact our community with this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Will you get with Mr. Bronson and work out the details for that?
Sure.
After the meeting? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Go ahead and get his information. That way you won't have to stay at home waiting. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Can you tell me your phone number?
864-280-5997.
All right. I'll give you a call next day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Council.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Dan Morrell. Merrill.
Yes, ma'am. Council, ma'am. I'm new to town, but I live here now. I live on 200 Northampton. Being new to town, everyone gets to meet you. You hear good and bad things about damn near everybody. But the one thing that I constantly hear is there's a lack of faith in this council to do what's in the best interest of the people. Now, that's a hard thing to put a finger on, and sure, they're not done with one little sentence like that, but when you go to make amends regarding the fee being taken out past the deadline of the project, I would recommend very highly, consider the fact that you're kind of on, like, thin ice, and it's not something that can't be repaired. Now, everybody who's here on this council or in your seat, Mayor, like, you're here because you want the people to have good things and you want the city to thrive. You have to be friends. You have to talk to each other, and it can't be one side versus another. You're one council. You're not two groups. I expect great things out of this city because every person I've met is a great person. Every single one. Most of y'all, the reputation is good and it precedes you. People believe in you guys still, even if they don't believe in this entity right now. But you can change that. And I hope you do.
Thanks, sir.
Frankie Pearson.
It's me again. First thing, I thank all of you for what you do. It takes an upright citizen to run for these offices and actually try to help individual towns or the county or whatever. But there had been a terrible wrong done to the people outside the city. We have been charged this fee. It should have been dropped 2 years ago or so, and you're still charging us. Understand it paid for something over at Charam to help keep the water going. It is paid for, I've heard it's been paid for transformers and all kind of crap. That money was for one thing and one thing only, to pay for those water meters that are crap. I mean, they don't do what y'all, or not y'all personally, but what the other administrators and all said they were going to do. Y'all can't even use them like that. But yet we're still paying this $7.50 every month. Y'all need to give us our money back. Y'all have already screwed us up on the outside of the city by raising our rates and not raising the city rates. You need to, everybody should be paying the equal amount. If the city is paying $2 for something, the outside residents that have the water should be paying $2. We shouldn't have to pay $5 for what the city's paying $2 for. This is our city too, even though we don't live in the city limits. We care what goes on in this town. And I know it's just ridiculous. Y'all just need to step up and do what's right and do what was promised to us when this thing whole started. We were promised it would end. If we wasn't promised, it would continue and keep going forever. And a lot of us, yeah, our water bills are only $30, $35, $40, but a lot of us can't afford that. We have a lot of people in this area that are on fixed incomes that $40 really hurts them. $32 is not as bad. You think $7.50 don't mean a whole lot? It means a lot to a lot of people. It means a gallon of milk, another loaf of bread, or something. But y'all are overcharging us and we're getting tired of it. We appreciate our money back.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce.
Adam Dunn.
Good evening. Most of you seen me in here before, and I didn't have the opportunity to speak at the last council meeting. I showed up late. The meeting time was changed, and I wasn't aware of it. And I apologize for that. I guess I should have dug a little deeper. But for those that don't know why I'm here, I'm trying to build a mother-in-law suite on my property. I live at 9221 Long Creek Highway. Where I'm wanting to build it is off the road, won't be seen. So originally I was asked to try to change my zoning to a general residential, which I didn't want to do. I was scared it was going to lower my property value, but I went ahead and tried to do it anyway. I've spent, since last November, we're going on 14 months, I've tried to get this in the works. I've had many, many conversations with several of you here about it, thought everything was going to go good, and it got voted down the December meeting. November meeting. I missed December's meeting because it was changed from the second Tuesday to the Thursday, and I wasn't aware of that one. So I made sure I was here tonight. What I really think needs to happen, I don't think I need to change my zoning. Didn't want to do that to begin with. All that needs to really happen is make an amendment to the city ordinance allowing me to have a detached. My understanding, that's been done before with a boarding house in the past. And there's already rules and regulations in place to allow that to happen. Whereas to say that I couldn't rent that out, which I think was a concern. If people start building those and they could rent them out and have extra income on the property and so on and so forth. My understanding, this already has laws in place saying there has to be a blood relative living there or a caregiver to someone in the home. And after I found that out, I can't see any reason why I wouldn't be allowed to do that for my mother-in-law. She's elderly, she's disabled. My wife has to take care of her. If anything, I'm giving you guys more tax dollars than doing it. So I'd appreciate your consideration to do that, to allow me to have a detached on my property that I have now. Spoken to all my neighbors. Nobody has a problem with it. Everybody's on board with it. And I guess that's it. If anybody has any questions, please ask. But that's the simplest, quickest, easiest fix to all that. I guess that's it. Thank y'all for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan.
That's all.
That's it? Mm-hmm. I'll open the floor now for comments from the mayor and council.
I would like to ask Mr. McDuff.
Yes, sir.
Were you in Seneca's meeting?
I'm sorry?
Have you been in Seneca's meeting? Have you been in Wahala's meeting?
I have not.
Why?
I have been asked by my client to go to those.
Okay. I just wondered, because they charge different outside the city, just like we
do. And I understand. My position is I haven't been asked to give an opinion on the propriety of that. I'm just saying that there are equal protection and due process considerations to go with charging people this differently, and it's, it may have never been challenged.
Right.
But I've done this, and I've represented municipal governments over the course of 35 years, a lot of them. And I know I've had to defend these equal protection and due process claims. And so I don't want to pretend to give you legal advice. Your counsel is capable and can do that. I just say want to say that's a concern that I think needs to be taken into consideration.
Okay. I wasn't being ugly.
Oh, no, I understand. And I'm happy to answer any question you have.
All right, thank you.
All right.
First, I want to address Mr. Dunn. You weren't here during the meeting, but we all felt real concerned about what you were trying to do. So what we've asked the administrator to do is we need to have some more zoning options. We just didn't have enough options. The only issue we had was to give you what you wanted. We had to open the door up to allow mobile homes, and that's on the main highway coming into town. That opens a door that if we allowed you to do it, then the guy across the street may want to do it. We've got to try to keep that main thoroughfare through the city as commercial or as pleasant looking as we can. And no matter how good your intentions are, the next guy may just want to put in a mobile home park. And if we open that door, that could possibly happen. That's why we were concerned. But we have asked him. They're going to put, we've got that in the works now. We're going to add some more zoning options.
Well, I'm not asking to rezone. I'm asking to amend the ordinance to allow me to have a detached like you did for the boardhouse.
Well, that's what you'll have to go with Mr. Bronson about. But I just want you to know that's why we voted that down.
Is that not something that needs to be voted on now? I mean, at the meeting, or is that something? I don't want to get back into what I've been doing for the last 14 months. I haven't gotten anywhere. I mean, I've had promises after promises from you guys that there shouldn't be an issue, no problem. We see the understanding, and then we get in here, and it's a different story. Just like the... you telling me that you don't want to allow me to do that because in the future somebody else. Well, this is a case-by-case basis. I had to go before the zoning and planning board just like anybody else would. I mean, that's, to me, I'm not be rude, but that's a cop-out. Don't tell me that you won't let me do it because of somebody else in the future. It's a case-by-case basis.
But as a council, I just appreciate when we do something like that, we have to consider that for the future, and that's why we've asked them to look at it.
And I don't want to rezone. So what they're looking at, I'm not interested in anymore. I don't want to rezone my property. I'm asking to amend the ordinance to allow me to have a detached on my property. I don't want to change the zoning, and I understand where you're coming from. I just kind of felt like I was led along for months and months. It's not an issue, not an issue, and then all of a sudden it's an issue.
I understand.
And it became an issue the night that I come in late because you changed the meeting from 6 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And that's another issue that in the future needs to be addressed.
That has been addressed.
I understand. And I've triple checked and about panicked when I come through town last night and realized there was a meeting going on. I'm like, if they change it again, I'm going to kill it.
No, we're good.
But I'm absolutely not asking to change the zoning anymore.
Okay.
Understand your concern. I don't want to drop property values in the town either. I mean,
you said at the time, you know, the way you're building, it's not going to be seen from outside.
Correct. And I understand what you're saying, Brian. I absolutely don't want to hurt the town. I mean, I'm all in this town. I plan on retiring here for the rest of my life.
If you've got another option, talk to Mr. Brunson about it, and we'll look at it that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I want to mention, you know, just about this AMI situation. We have already voted the first read to do this. So this council has already determined we're going to take that fee off. But just so everyone understands, we don't have a big CD set somewhere that we're putting this additional money in. Every dime we're getting is going right back into the infrastructure. We're not hanging on to your money. We're not using it to buy transformers with. We're rebuilding our infrastructure. We've got a lot done with the electrical system now. We're working on some major water projects. So I'm just wanting to let everyone know that if the council votes tonight for the second reading and it does go through approval, then Mr. Brunson is going to have an audit done of that project, AMI project, and we'll go from there. So we're not ignoring you. We're hearing you. We heard it before, and like I said, this is the second reading of that. We've already approved first. So I just want to make sure everybody's aware of that. Anyone else on council got anything to say?
Well, on that subject right there, you know, and when I was asked on the paper, I'll have to say that if the fee was supposed to come off and the fee was charged for whatever, I think it would have been much better if we had raised the rates to do whatever we needed to do versus just keeping that money. And I'll say it again that if anything was done wrong or illegally, the money needs to go back to the people, because that is not what was originally told to the people. And if anything was done wrong, we need to make it right. Now, I've talked with Kevin about that. And again, as the mayor said, we don't have a CD sitting around to pay all that back. And I feel like all you guys know that. I think you've read the paper and the figures that they're talking about. But I think there's a way that we can work on that, and I would certainly press that to Mr. Bronson to come up with an exact figure, an exact way we could possibly do that, and maybe in rates, in a decrease in your water electrical rates or whatever it is, but the people need to be paid back. He asked for an opinion, and that's my opinion. It's your money. And again, I think the proper thing to do is when it's supposed to come off, it comes off. And then if we need to raise rates to do whatever we need to do, we'll do that. But that's my opinion.
I was one of the people sitting on that meeting, and at that time when we put that AI on that, and we had promise within the 5 years or 6 years, when it's time to go, we need to take it off. Sure, it did come up, I guess, almost a year ago, and I guess that's where people are still waiting to be took off. And I think you should have took off then, but the council decided to keep it so that's what it is. But I feel like it should have come off, and we promised it needed to come off. And so that's where we are now. That's what we have a problem with now, because we promised to do something, we did not do it. I feel like Mr. Duncan said, if there is any way it can be, people feel like overcharged and we aren't able to do it, I feel like we should, and if people feel like they're overcharged. But the rate going up or not going up, this is the economy, and everybody's going to have to go through it, whether you're a restaurant, whether you're a grocery store, whether if you need to go up, everybody needs to go up to keep the city going, everything else. But what's right is right at the time you be took out, for sure. That's what I remember that.
Anyone else on the council? All right, moving on. Presentation by the Westminster Special Events Committee. Lacey Watkins.
Okay, so this is Lacey Watkins, now Lacey Moore, who is actually our chairman of the Special Events and PR Committee. However, I have the bigger mouth, so I'm happy. I'm Jessica Glimp. I think most of y'all know that, kind of around the whole thing. So our purpose as public relations and special events, I know most of y'all know, but for those of you who are here that don't, what we do is we promote and we assist with city and community-sponsored events. So things that the city wants to see happen event-wise, or to kind of promote the culture in our city, we assist with. Or events like some of the other community groups, like the pastor that was here a few minutes ago. That's the type of thing that we try and partner with groups to take on and to help and assist however we can. With that, each year we come before you guys and we ask for a specific budget. Usually we try and look ahead and figure out what we want to be involved in and come up with a number, and we ask for that. In the past, our number has basically stayed the same, even though for the last few years we've actually kind of upped what we have managed to do. We have utilized more volunteers, more volunteer hours. In 2021, we had information booth at the Apple Festival. We had First Friday events that we helped with. We had the Bigfoot Festival we helped with, Bluegrass Jams that we helped with, Boo on Main. And then we did the tree lighting, the Christmas parade, and just Christmas decorating in general. As we do more, our budget would really, it would really see a benefit of an increased budget. But it would also be beneficial, we feel like, to just be a line item in the budget, since we are a consistent city-sponsored entity, as opposed to us coming before you every year to ask for basically the same thing. So we would like for y'all to consider writing us in as a line item. And there's a few small pieces that we would like to see that happen for. Each year, we use a significant chunk of our budget to purchase Christmas decorations, fall decorations, And a lot of that stuff, because commercial decorations are so expensive, we buy things from Walmart and Home Depot and Big Lots. Unfortunately, those are not made to last. They're not made to be out on a city scale. So a lot of the stuff that we purchase for those, they're really not reusable for the next year. So it's almost like we are wasting money on that. We would like you guys to consider potentially giving us additional budget for commercial style decorations, something that we would actually have and would last and could be, you know, stored for future use. With that, storage becomes an issue. That is one of the things that we have run into quite frequently as a problem. We have, just since I've been involved, Lacey's been involved 6 years? Five. So we've been here for 5 years. I've only been involved for probably like 3.5. We initially were storing stuff in the old fire department bay, which is not exactly weatherproof. So we had a lot of things that had become ruined or molded from being down there. So we moved some of our stuff actually up into City Hall, but we got relocated. I'm just picking on you. But so with that, we don't have ample storage space really. So if we are going to purchase things that are going to be usable for the future, we've got to have a place to put it. We don't need a whole building, but we would really love to have a room and some storage shelving that we can use. We would like for it to be only accessed by us. We have had some things that have gone missing, coolers and tables and tents and things of that nature, because people come and they use those and they don't always make it back. So then that's other stuff that, you know, we're repurchasing. So we just hate to see funds that are going for promotion of city events and things that we can do to better the culture here in Westminster that's not really reusable. So we would just ask that if you can consider maybe all of whatever usable space you have, if there's a room that y'all can give us with a key, it would be great. We would love to see that happen. One of the other things that we would like you guys to consider as you go into budget preparation is a significant portion of our budget this past year. We used, it was about 20% of our budget, which our budget over the last few years has been about $10,000 a year. We actually asked for 15 this past year, received 8, and we know that a lot of that is just COVID concerns and, you know, we weren't really sure. I don't think anybody really knew what was going to happen and what wasn't going to happen. But so far of that, we've used about $2,000 just on portable toilets. So as we continue to grow and Westminster continues to change and do more downtown events and public events, we would love to see a more permanent structure. We've seen some really cool examples of, you know, people taking shipping containers and turning them into public restrooms. I mean, even we've got our handy mayor over here who builds things for a living. He can, I'm sure, come up with some ideas of something that we could use that could be more of a permanent thing. And it doesn't have to be open all the time, but just something that can be there for events, unlocked for people to use. That's money that we're not throwing away for these events. So, just some things to consider. So we just wanted you to also be aware that we welcome all of your participation. Anybody who wants to come sit in on a meeting, we have thoroughly enjoyed having some of our department heads at the meetings. Matt, Lee, have really been there. You've been there for several of the last ones, to kind of give us feedback on what we're doing well, what you would like to see us do, how we could do it better. We are adding more volunteers, but it takes a ton of people to make some of this stuff work. Just with Christmas alone, we had over 100 volunteer hours to get the parade and the tree lighting and the decorations and all of that stuff up. So, but we appreciate everything that you guys do for us. We just ask that you can take some of those things into consideration as you go forward for the rest of the year. What you got?
I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire for that, but do you have an amount that you're basically looking at? You guys probably kicked that around. I'm not going to quote you on that in the future when it comes that time. I'm just asking, what are we looking at?
So for events last year, we had requested 15,000 and we received 8. So we are pretty much, we're to the end of our budget. I mean, we have still some left, but, and thankfully most of our events happen from July to December. But then, you know, we do have a few things that we would like to be able to do. We have the birthday bash coming up in March. We would like to be able to do something for Westminster City Birthday. We always like to do stuff with back to school. And we do have some ideas for things over the summer, but we have to just actually be able to sit down and figure out how to make those work. We had purchased a projector and screen, an inflatable screen. We would love to be able to show movies out here in the depot parking lot, but we have to figure out about movie rights, because that's not something that the committee can afford to purchase. So, you know, there's other things that we would like to be able to do, but it's just we've got to figure out, budget-wise, with our budget being cut back this year, what we can continue to do for the rest of the year.
So what I'm saying is, in the future, what do you feel comfortable with?
I mean,
are you saying the $15,000?
Yeah, I feel like 15, but like also the commercialized decorations, like obviously 15,000 is not going to buy us anything out of that. So like all these decorations, I mean, if you look at the small pile of things that we have left year after year, it would almost make you nauseous to know how much money has went into them over the past few years that are now nothing. So the commercialized decorations, if that's outside of the 15,000, we would be able to advertise and promote and all that stuff, be able to move forward doing things like that and not have to crunch or say no.
Mr. Bronson, let me ask you a question. Have we got anything in place where we can track the Apple Festival and the events that these folks put on, the impact on the city financially when they have those? And is it possible to do that? And it may help you justify what you're talking about. You understand what I'm saying?
Because we've mentioned that before, actually being able to see like what's coming.
What it brings.
Yeah, but.
Can we do that? Is it possible? Is it impossible? Or?
Well, I guess, Mr. Duncan, anything's possible.
That's good.
I can tell you from the perspective of stepping outside of the PR committee role for a second. From the Bigfoot Festival, the first year we did it in 2019, we actually put books out at Puerto Yusuf's Beef and Rib, and then we put them in our speaking venues, which were up and down the street, just to kind of get an idea of head count. We did not do that this year because we tried to do an electronic system, which was a failure, but that's a total aside. But the restaurant books were pretty helpful from that first year because we got to see hundreds of people that were from out of town, out of state.
Right.
Yusuf may be able to speak from a restaurant owner perspective to what his volume does during Apple Festival, Bigfoot Festival, any of our big city events. He may be able to speak more to that as far as a dollar amount, what it brings
that
in.
That is true.
And it may be just to get with some of the businesses, Kevin, just to see basically if we can come up with something that could further justify the monies that, instead of just saying, you understand, as a council, we
right.
need to justify what we're doing
right.
and we're spending the money, okay? But that would justify. If you're spending $15,000 and you're bringing in $250,000, that's a no-brainer, and
right.
I just threw those figures out. So, I mean, it may help justify exactly
right.
what you guys are asking for, but I don't think we've done that in the past.
No, and that may be one of those things that we could look at, too, us keeping a little bit more of a detailed exactly what we're spending where and what we if we expect a return on it. Because obviously Christmas decorations, we're not really expecting a monetary return on that.
Yeah.
We may have 10 more cars drive through to look at the pretty lights, who knows.
Well, we would love to be able to, like, not that we want to take money from people, but like if we wanted to sell t-shirts, like city t-shirts or
yeah.
event t-shirts or stuff like that, we would love to be able to do that. But up until this point, we haven't been set up to where we can sell things
funds.
Like that.
Even if we wanted to do something in here where we said, okay, hey, we're going to have a paint night and it's $10 a person, we can't technically do that because the way this committee was chartered, we cannot accept money, any funds. So if there's a way to fix that, to allow us to kind of feed back into our own pot, that's an option as well. Just looking for options that we can help the city more and be more effective in what we're spending. Because we hate feeling like we're throwing any of it away.
It's
we want to be good stewards of what we're given.
Well, it's hard for us to ask y'all to do something for nothing, for
right.
free. and not funded.
You should have seen us spending all the hours hand painting lollipops and gingerbread men. And yeah, that's something like.
If you have not seen our hand painting gingerbread man thing, it's still on the tree out there. Please go check it out.
And we know that y'all don't see that side of stuff, but it's there. And then when we're crunching, trying to figure out how to pay for the events that. And we would, it's definitely like pulling teeth though to get some of the businesses to interact with us. But we would love to be able to feed more off of them and like how we can help mm-hmm. them and whatnot. But like I said, sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get
them. I think y'all do a great job.
Thank you.
Yes. And I think everyone at board appreciates what y'all do. I mean, we couldn't afford to pay people to do what y'all do.
Thank
you. Definitely not.
Kevin, this is without a doubt tourism related. So any funds we deem necessary to give them, we can pull out the local option sales tax, 2% money.
Well, your hospitality tax.
Yeah, that's where
that's where we come from.
I think you guys use it. It's okay to go around those businesses, you know, use this and that and that. Hey, we need some help. You know, mm-hmm. we don't mind. You know, whatever we give you is, it's still going to help a little bit, not that much, but at least it would help.
To make sure that technically we're allowed to do that as well.
I'm not saying we couldn't meet everybody else.
Right. All right.
So I don't mind.
But I would say in closing that anything that you guys want to do that you're unsure of what you can do, mm-hmm. Mr. Bronson's your saving grace and the attorney.
Yes. We aggravate him all the time.
But they'll be able to.
Look at him nodding behind his
head. Those will be the folks that will be able to tell you exactly what you can do.
I know. These two right here have to deal with us a whole lot more than y'all do.
Yes.
Anybody else have any questions for us then? As far as what we do or how we do it.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. Moving on to old business. Second reading ordinance 2022-01-11-01, Legislative Amendment Number 3, to amend the 2021-22 annual budget. Mr. Brunt.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, this is what you alluded to just a few minutes ago. The council has already completed the first reading on. Part of the reason that the AMI fee was kept in place for a while was the revenue that it generated was needed to operate the utility system. In order to remove the fee, we presented you with a plan to be able to replace that revenue by moving that into the base fee and the per 1,000 gallon fee for outside residents, or for outside customers, I should say. I'm going to go through that real quick, if that's all right, Mayor, so the folks that are listening to us talk know what we're doing. So for inside the city customers, we would remove the fee with no increase. For outside the city, we remove the meter fee, a 10% increase on the base fee, and a 24.95% increase on the per 1,000 gallon fee. For most customers, that is a net neutral swap. So for the average outside customer using 5,000 gallons, which is the amount that we typically do when we're comparing our rates with other municipalities, the increase on that ends up being $1.35 per month when you take the $7 fee off. Some folks have a $14 fee depending on their meter setup. Some folks pay $7, some pay $14 depending on how their electric meters and their water meters are synced together. So if they were paying $14, they would actually have a net decrease in their monthly bill based off that 5,000 gallons. When we ran these numbers, we ran it so that it was revenue neutral. It does apply to outside city water customers, the increase. The rationale behind doing that was, even at the time, anticipating that there was going to be a sewer rate increase coming, and that would affect the inside city customers. So there was give and take there. Perfect science, it's not. As a reminder, that 22% of the water customers are inside the city, and 78% of the customers or outside the city limits. We have the ordinance ready to go. Just as a matter of practical execution of this, if you were to approve it tonight, the AMI fee would be, or I'm sorry, the AMI fee, which we renamed the meter fee, would stay on through the February bill, and then as of March 1st, give or take, kind of depending on folks' billing cycle, the fee would be removed, and it would no longer be levied.
It'd be the whole $7? Or?
Yes, the full amount. So, Mr. Mayor, that's all for that part, or for my comments to you regarding the actual removal of the fee, what we recommended, staff has recommended to you. We included in here the rates for inside and outside for Walhalla, Seneca, and Westminster. What we often refer to as the competitiveness or the lack of competitiveness with our rates and the others. Even though Seneca is a much larger system, we do share space with them in the county, so we think it's appropriate to show that. The last thing, Mr. Mayor, and you'll tell me if I'm out of sequence with this or not. I've talked with a number of you about this. As you remove this fee, I think it would be appropriate for you to, for us to do an audit of the fee, the revenues that we collected, the expenditures that we've had. The newspaper's written about it a number of times, and I've not tried to validate the accuracy of those numbers at all, but you as a council, as the decision-making body, need to know how much revenue we received and where that those expenses associated with the fee were spent. If it's good for you, what I would like to do is have Jason White, who's our city accountant, assist with that audit so that we bring it back to you so that we can clearly line item itemize the revenue that we received through the years and the expenses that we believe are appropriate for that, and if there's any difference, meaning if you over or under collected. My sense is you probably over collected by some amount. I don't know what that would be until we've actually gone through and brought those to you. But what that would also give to you that you could present to these folks here that came to speak tonight and the rest of your customers is they would also know what you were making that decision based off of.
Right.
By having Jason White help with the audit, you're getting an outside opinion in addition to mine to the extent that anyone would question my objectivity in that, which I guess you could since I'm your staff. And then when we do the annual financial audit, we will ask those auditors to validate those numbers as well, and then that will give you the best information that you can have. I believe we can have that information for you by your next council, by your February council meeting. You've got a couple of planning meetings in between now and then, if that's sufficient for you.
How does the council feel about that, having Mr. White do all
of it? Well, I think it's essential not only for the customer, but for the city also to get an exact figure of what we're talking about. Because when you're dealing with that, the balance that we're talking about, I mean, it's going to be something that needs to be really exact. And I think they deserve it, we deserve it, and I personally believe the mayor that that's the right thing to do, that we get the exact figures on that. And you saying you think you can have that ready, everything for us at the next meeting, try to.
I believe so. We've started drilling down into, as we got closer to this date and it appeared as if you were indeed going to remove it, we started drilling into some of the details. I think we can have it ready for you at that February council meeting. If it's not complete, we'll at least have your preliminary report, but we'll strive to have the full thing ready. So some of it will depend on Mr. White's schedule is what I'm hedging for, or the reason that I'm saying we should be able to get it mostly to you.
Right.
But as long as his schedule accommodated, the staff's will for sure.
And I'll ask the attorney, waiting till after that, with the fee still staying on, is there anything legal that says that we can't do that till that time? Do we need to vote to take it off right now and then go to that later? to hire this group?
I was going to ask that same question. If we read this second reading of this ordinance, it basically does two things. It removes the $7 fee, and it authorizes the increase.
That's right.
For the out of town.
Right.
Correct.
So there's no way, if you vote no on this tonight, say you're voting no because of the increase, the $7 is going to stay on there because it's included in the way this word is worded.
Correct. We worded the ordinance based off how you did first reading.
Right.
So you can kind of split that up however you'd like if you'd like to change it differently. But that wording of that ordinance is based off how you did first reading.
So we voted no on this for increased purposes. Then we would immediately need to look at the $7 AMI fee.
That's right.
Correct.
Not just to leave it status quo till we iron out what we need to iron out.
Correct. Correct.
So what we're doing with Mr. White tonight, if we pass this, we're taking the $7 fee off completely, and we're taking the increase that's going to make up the difference. Mr. White is going to look at auditing and determine how much we may have overcharged from the beginning of this.
So what I would ask Mr. White to do is to go back from the time that you authorized the AMI fee, assess all that we collected for that, which is rather easy for us to do to assess how much we collected in revenue, and then go back and assess the expenses that we had related to that fee. Most of those expenses are with the bond that you issued, or that the council issued, and the repayment of that bond, but there were also a number of other expenses associated with the installation of that system that weren't included in the bond amount. So that's a difference that the audit would show. If it were just the repayment of the bond, it would be rather easy for me to come in and say, that's all you had in terms of expenses. But you've had expenses related to the AMI system that, in my opinion, you were collecting that fee to cover and have done that through the years. What I would anticipate that we would provide with Jason White would be able to provide you would be a year-by-year accounting of that. So that early year, that first year, you're going to have more expenses associated that are outside the bond cost than you would in some of the latter years. And there are staff expenses that went in there. I don't know what that full accounting is going to look like. But I'd also, I mean, that's why I also suggest you have Mr. White come in and make the audit for you.
So you're saying all the $7 now, those meters aren't costing us anything, correct?
No, it cost us to operate that system now.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. How are we going to do away with the $7 for everybody in the city and go up whatever $7 plus for their rate to cover the $7 for all the people in the city and still come out? It doesn't make sense to me.
So when we first ran the scenario on how to replace the revenue, we calculated what the rate increase would need to be on just the water to replace the roughly $25,000 a month. So when we looked at it, it was looking at it on an annual basis, but we broke it down and looked at it per month because that was a pretty reasonable way to go. And if you increase the fees based off how we have it outlined here, which is that 10% increase in the base fee and the roughly 25% increase in the per 1,000, that generates enough revenue to cover what we were collecting each month. The basis that we used for making that calculation was the amount of water consumption that we have each month based off of what I'm going to call the different rate codes, but when you look at this, it's the different meter sizes. We translate that into a rate code in the system. So when we look at that across these meter sizes or those rate codes and the average broken down into the monthly water consumption, you apply those increases, then it generates the same amount of revenue. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it answered my question, but it's still just, so basically, we're going to get a $7 rate decrease, and the people outside are going to get a rate increase.
Depends, so.
Well, it'd have to.
Using that average 5,000 gallons a month.
Yeah.
Some folks would have a $1.35 increase. If folks were paying $14 for, because they had 2 meters, they would actually see a decrease of $12 and some change on average. I mean, I can't pinpoint exactly what each customer would do because it's based off the consumption.
Now, 2015, when they originally started this, I don't remember exactly, but my understanding was, I wasn't on the council at that time, in 5 years it would drop to $2. The $2 was going to be the continual maintenance cost, right?
That was my understanding of how what was contemplated.
Yeah.
That was my understanding. That is the part I understood, because I was on that. Just $7 stay on for the 5 years or whatever the length of the time, then it would drop, you take five out, and the two stay on there. And everybody was okay with it. If it was done then, it would be that's what, if you go back and look at the minutes, and that's what they understand. But $2 across the board, everybody, not just city, outside, inside.
But by doing what you're doing, you've already looked at it, and this is that $2 for the maintenance, this is going to be part of the operational cost throughout. There won't be an extra fee listed anywhere. It'll just be based on
it's,
the rate.
It's worked into the overall rate structure of what you're charging the customers.
That way the customers have an option. They can save water, pay less.
Correct.
But right, it's not just a straight fee. I understand.
What were you trying to say earlier about the $7 divided into? What were you trying to say about that?
About me? Uh-huh. I was just asking if this second reading of this ordinance, it did two things. It approved the increase, and it did away with $7 AMI fee. And I was just asking if you voted, if you don't like the increase, but you vote no on this ordinance tonight, you're still doing two things. You're leaving the $7 on there, and you're voting down the increase.
Are you trying to split it?
Well, I don't know that you can split it right now at this time. I was just trying to clarify how we vote on this tonight, what that's going to accomplish. I would say
either way, no matter what you do, it's going to be wrong, unless you like to say.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not immediately, but I know how things go when you table it or you put it aside for another time. It's typically months and months and months. And we done backed ourselves in a corner on this AMI fee to start with. So if you vote no on this tonight, somewhere in the very near future, you need to address that $7 AMI fee because it's going to still be applied because you're not voting to take it off with it. If you vote against this ordinance, you're not voting to take that off.
That's right.
That's all I was trying to clarify.
That's right, because you know, if you're going to vote take it out, you're going to want to increase. That's how it can put in there.
How many customers do we have in that?
2,400 or something.
You don't,
2,400.
I was looking to see if I had put that in the memo.
Okay,
it's
2,000.
May I interject something here? Just
no, sir.
So, Mr. Chastain, it's roughly 2,000.
2,000.
Roughly.
Let me just clarify. Council discussed this numerous times about the different rates inside and outside. And Mr. Bronson got this list. Outside the city, we maintain 130 miles of water line. It costs a tremendous amount more to manage and operate that outside the city than it does inside. We only have 35, 36 miles inside the city. So that's the reason there's a difference. Every city does it across the state. You know, I'm not gonna say every city because I'd be wrong if somebody somewhere don't. But if you've got such a big rural area that we have, it takes a lot of time and manpower and equipment to go out to Cole Highway or up Highway 76 to repair a water break. When you're in town, you run a backhoe over there in 2 minutes, you've got something to repair. So that the council's discussed this numerous times. So So just want to clarify that with everybody.
So, Mr. Brunson, how many customers outside the city?
Well,
I'm trying to get this math fixed in my mind because it's not adding up.
Well, I would be happy to show you the. I don't have it with me, but we did calculations on a pretty involved spreadsheet.
Well, I believe you. I'm just asking how many customers outside the city.
Roughly 2,600.
2,600. And you say the rate's going to go up average a dollar, what, 52?
35.
So we're going to lose $14,000 a month at $7 times 2,000.
No.
But we're going to gain $3,510 by charging the people extra money. I really don't understand the math.
Well, I understand that.
You're smarter than me, but I just don't understand that.
Well, I appreciate the acknowledgement. When we went through the calculations, it's a revenue neutral calculation.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, I'll be happy to provide it to the council, make any demonstrations that you need to see.
Well, what you're looking at on the customers, what you just gave us was the number of customers. What you've got this included in, you've got several 3/6 and 4-inch lines that are not in that calculation itself, right?
Right. We based the calculations off of the number of gallons of consumption
right. That
we sold over the last 12 months.
So the numbers you just gave outside season don't include all that.
Yeah, that's not me. So how much money do we take out of the water revenue to put into the general fund? You know that?
So it's roughly $500,000, give or take. And that's not just from water, that's your electric, water, and sewer.
We transfer that percentage from the utility fund over to the general fund.
The percentage for this year was 6.1% of your total utility revenue was put into a transfer. The average is between 5% and 8%. Meaning the average for most cities that run utilities is between 5% and 8%. Last year, you guys directed me to get as close to 5% as we could, and we landed at 6.1 to balance the budget.
Well, we don't know how much that is based water versus power. I know sewer, not anything. It costs us money.
Yeah, I can calculate that for you. I don't have the exact budget document in front of me to be able to do that.
I live in the city. You know, I pay two water bills, $14 a month, because I had a sprinkler system and a water system, you know. And I don't have, people outside the city, I mean, granted they don't pay taxes, they don't pay, the stuff we have to pay on our cars and all that. But I just don't know how much more they can, they can take. That's my thing. And, they're paying for not just water, because we're taking that money out of the water and and running the town on it. So that's just that's the only rub I've got.
So. Well, I've got outside water meters outside the city and inside, and I've also got waves on property, and I would much rather pay what I'm paying outside the city water rate than I would have to drill a wave. And I understand a lot of people ain't comfortable with that, but there again, we're maintaining a lot more area than we are inside the city, so I understand the logistics of what Lee and his guys have to do when they have outside city issues. So nobody's going to like it. There's no way to make everybody like it. But it's one of the things we just have to find it after me.
Is the age of water pipes, I've heard Lee talk about, you know, how it's an age system and stuff, and you're constantly repairing breaking and stuff like that. Same type of situation outside the city?
In certain places, yeah. Correct,
yeah. Yeah, Dr. John's Road, correct?
Correct.
Big time. Yeah. Hall Street, where I'm at.
We'll talk about that a little later. Yeah.
We're looking at $8 million water project we've been working on.
And there's solar.
Majority of that's outside the city.
Correct. Yeah, a lot of that's up local church. We're talking places out of
town. Because trying to loop all that in like it's supposed to be, and that's an $8 million project right there. But I would like to say this, and that's all I'm going to say about the situation here, but, you know, I think everybody... And I'm being as honest as I know how to be. A lot of this went on for many years. And I was on in the early 2000s and probably needed to be addressed at that time. And it wasn't. I was there. But you cannot, what I would like for everybody to be a little bit more compassionate about is we're trying every way in the world to fix it. And I think Lee has done a tremendous job of trying to do what he needs to be doing. Not that we're going to get the feather in our cap. I could care less about that, I'm just telling you. Westminster, with our water and some other things, are going to have to come up to par. The sewer's the same thing, and I think if Mr. Bronson, if you'll talk to him, you talk to the mayor, if you read the paper, you know, the sewer's having some problems all over the county, okay? It's not something that just happened yesterday. But we've got to understand that we're trying to get there, and I'm not asking for anybody to, you know, feel sorry for us, whatever, but we're trying every way to get there and be fair about it. But some of those things are very urgent, and I know for a fact up at Shaw Ram, there's some urgencies in a lot of things that we need to do. But with that said, like you say with the water and yeah, a large majority of it, if not most of it, are outside the city because that thing has to be looped what, through Long Creek, I mean, edge of Long Creek, Unity, back over to Madison, back over to 123.
Welcome Church.
Yeah, Welcome like Church, and where that, we had that big cave-in on the highway out there. That could have, I don't know if that could have been prevented, but you could have had a lot less people out of water. Correct me if I'm wrong, if we'd have had the loop around through there. So it didn't happen yesterday, but, you know, we're working toward it. It's just a limited amount of funds, and we got to find out how to do it. It's what's best for everybody. It's not just for a certain amount. It's what's best for everybody.
Do we have a motion?
Well, you'll have to vote yes or no on this ordinance as it is. And the other will be secondary at a later date. I was just emphasizing that it's a relatively quick later date and not something you just push off. So my understanding, you'll vote yes or no on this ordinance, the way it's read, which you couldn't vote out.
The motion is to approve the second reading, the same that we voted on the descent. Is there a motion? I make the motion. I move to approve the second reading ordinance 2022-01-11-01, amendment number 3 of the fiscal year 21-22 annual budget, which will eliminate the AMI figure. Do we have a second? No second?
I'll second.
We have a second? Any further discussion? discussion? Call for a vote.
Danny?
No.
Brad?
No.
Rusty?
No, ma'am.
Ron?
Yes.
Yusuf?
I say no.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
All right, motion fails. Move on to new business. Appointment of Mayor Pro Tem. Do we have a nomination?
I nominate Mr. Duncan, who's already in that capacity. I think he'd be somebody with a relatively number of years' experience to fill in for you if you are not available to be here. And although it's only happened like maybe twice this year, he's done an admirable job, so I nominate him.
Well, that's been nominated. Do we have any more nominations? All right, we have Mr. Duncan been nominated. Call for a vote. Acceptance of Mr. Duncan as Mayor Pro Tem.
You need a second?
We don't need a second. It's a nomination. I don't think. Andrew, do we need a second for that? The nomination?
I think not, especially since it's unopposed.
All right.
Brad?
Yes.
Rusty?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Bron?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
All right, next we have appointment of a new board member for the Fire Department 1% Local Board of Trustees. Do we have a nomination for that position?
Who's on that now?
Rick Adams. What on it? Kevin, you want to explain what that is? It's a little bit.
Yeah, did Chief Smith leave?
Somebody was signed. He's not here, is he?
Yeah, so the firefighters receive what's called 1% money that is funded through funds that are collected through the insurance, and you have to have a local board to approve the expenditures. It's really not that much more complicated. We're required to have one of you on the board.
Right. Anybody want to nominate someone?
Be on the short board?
No. It's the fire department board of trustees. So please can read that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin. That is more or less to coordinate with the 1% monies that they receive. Is that accountability? Is that accountability 1%?
So Ann Lee, this year's budget is $14,000 for those funds. There's a pretty broad range of expenditures that are allowed, but you have to have oversight, and that's what this does. Provides oversight to expenditures.
All right, so we don't have a nomination. Anybody volunteer to take that?
I nominate Rusty. Thank you.
Mr. Cater is nominated. Any more nominations? Mr. Cater, you accept that?
Yes, sir.
Call for a vote, please.
Bron?
Yes.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes, ma'am.
Brad?
Yes.
Rusty?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, we have appointment to the sewer board. Those board seats are currently held by Mr. Brunson and Mr. Baker. Mr. Baker and Mr. Brunson both are fine staying on the board, but does anyone want to nominate anybody else for that position?
I think with the lawsuit going on and all that, it's probably smart to keep them on that. I think Kevin was nominated as the chairman, correct?
I was.
Lee, do you mind serving again?
I'm okay. Thank
you. Everybody on council good with that? All right, next, appointment to the PMPA board. Do we need a vote? Because we're not changing. All right. So the appointment to the sewer board as it stands is Mr. Brunson and Mr. Baker. We call for a vote, Mr. Baker.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Brad?
Yes.
Rusty?
Yes, ma'am.
Bron?
Yes. All right, next appointment to the PMPA board. Do we have a nomination? Right now, we have Mr. Brunson and Mr. Chastain.
I don't care if I'm on it, but I think Kevin's done a great job. He knows what's going on. He knows those people.
Is it by himself?
We need a little more to add with him.
So the way it works is you have a board, a director, and an alternate director. And in the absence of the director, the alternate can vote.
Okay.